Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. 4 years ago, Boston Public Schools began using a computerized school assignment system. The idea was that the algorithm would reduce segregation in the city's school system and give more minority students access to higher quality schools. But a report released earlier this week finds that that did not happen. Dan O'Brien is the lead author of that report, and he joins us now. He's an associate professor at Northeastern University and co-director of the Boston Area Research Initiative. Dan O'Brien, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hey, thanks for having me, Meghna.
Also with us is Kevin Murray. He's a parent with the organization Quality Education for Every Student, or QEST. Kevin Murray, welcome to you.
Great to be here.
All right. So, Dan, let me just start with you. What exactly did your study find about whether or not the algorithm was providing greater access to students in Boston Public Schools?
Simply put, the algorithm in the system didn't really improve equity. Unfortunately, it maintained a lot of the inequities that existed under the previous system. And unfortunately, that means that many of our most disadvantaged students, more disenfranchised populations, didn't quite have as much access as their peers.
I mean, the numbers are actually pretty shocking, I have to say. From what I see here in the report, you found that 80% of kindergartens, 80% of kindergarten students in Charlestown, Back Bay, Beacon Hill, and Central Boston, so i.e. the whitest neighborhoods in the city, who enroll in the city school system, attended a high-quality school, 80% of those kindergartners. But 5% of kindergartners in Mattapan attended a high-quality school. Were you surprised by that disparity?
Yeah, those particular numbers are the most striking in the report, and I think they've been sort of highlighted in that way. I think that, yes, we were surprised to see quite that much disparity. I think as we look at the data, we need to be clear, though, that the 5% in Mattapan is particularly striking for that population because there are no Tier 1 schools near Mattapan. And so that same disparity doesn't generalize to all the other southern neighborhoods. But nonetheless, you make a very good point. It is striking.
Okay, so the same disparity doesn't generalize, but nevertheless, there was a disparity in other neighborhoods for sure, though, right?
Oh, unquestionably.
Okay, so but nevertheless, this algorithm was intended to close those gaps and to give students in some neighborhoods greater access to high quality schools. I mean, what was it supposed to do? How was it supposed to do that?
It was supposed to do that by creating what they call universal minimum access. So everyone gets access to a certain number of high-quality schools. Unfortunately, what it didn't take account of was competition for those schools. And so let's say you live in a neighborhood and you have 200 neighbors and I have 100 neighbors and we have the same number of schools in our basket, choice basket to choose from. There's a lot more competition in the neighborhood with 200 students. And what the algorithm really failed to take into account was that level of competition that would sort of push people out of the schools they hoped they could get.
Okay. So, Kevin Murray, you're with Quality Education for Every Student, a parent group. I mean, what was your initial reaction when you saw this report?
Finally was my initial reaction. I think it's been well reported that when the algorithm, this so-called home-based system, was originally put in place, it was put in place with a condition, a proviso, that there would be an evaluation of it after the first year of operation.
Which
there
wasn't.
Just to see if, in fact, there would be some issues that needed to be resolved in any way. That was 4 years ago. Just over 3 years ago, QEST made a public records request for the data that Dan eventually got, saying that we felt like if the Boston Public Schools were not going to do this evaluation, they should make public the data so that other people could look at the data and comment on it. The public records request was not responded to. We never received the data. The first time we saw the data that came out in the report was when the report came out. So one reaction was finally. Mm. The other reaction is, I think, the extremes of the report were somewhat surprising even for us. And my reading of the report is that there are ways in which this new system has made things slightly worse or noticeably worse. Part of the report talks about the increasing segregation at the kindergarten and early grade level, mm-hmm, in certain neighborhoods of the city. This is a very concerning trend, because those trends will move through the system as those kindergartners become second, third, and fourth graders. Those classes are not going to become more diverse, right? They're going to continue to be as segregated or more segregated than they were as kindergartners. So that, to me, is a real concern.
And that increasing segregation, do you think it's being driven by the use of this algorithm or
think
exacerbated?
About it. I mean, that's my only question about what you said, is that the intention was to give more access to quality schools. Really, the intention was quality schools closer to home.
Closer to home.
Home was always the idea. And just think about it. We have a city that has residential segregation, not at the level of some other cities, but residential segregation remains the order of the day in Boston. We also have a city where quality schools are not evenly distributed.
Yeah.
Strangely, not surprisingly, they follow that same pattern of segregation as housing.
Can I just jump here? Because doesn't that get then right to one of the fundamental questions, that if one of the factors which any algorithm is going to use in school assignment systems in Boston is closer to home, I think it was roughly a 1 mile radius we were talking about here, that we're never going to get past this problem?
Correct. That's never going to be a basis for an equitable assignment system. And that's been our contention throughout, not just ours. Many voices have raised the issue. And all these issues, all the problems with the system were raised in a year-long conversation. To the city's credit, they facilitated a public conversation of this process, of this proposal. And all these issues were raised during that time.
Dan O'Brien, jump in here. What do you think?
So I think this really highlights a very tough tension here, right? And two difficulties with an algorithm like this. The first one is, as is being mentioned, right, the city is de facto segregated, right? So if you're going to have people going to school closer to home, you're inevitably going to start to separate by race, by socioeconomic status across schools. And I think there has to be a really serious conversation among the Boston public school community. What is the balance there? Because we also know parents do, and during the process that was spoken about in 2012, parents said, we want to go closer to home. We don't want to get bussed across the city. That's not necessarily always equivalent to quality for us. And so there's a real tension there, and it really comes down to how much can you fix with just an algorithm, and how much do you have to tailor to the needs and conversation of the community?
You know, we've got some tape here from Alexandra Oliver Davila. Sorry, excuse me, I pronounced her name incorrectly, but she's a school committee member. And on Monday night's meeting, I believe, there was a lot of discussion about this and, you know, about this question of, can we solve the problem for as long as the distribution of high-quality schools isn't what we want them to be in Boston? Here's what she said.
It's helpful, and there's some Band-Aid work, but really we're still going to be a segregated Boston. And so how can we move together as a city, as a district, and really look at all those pieces?
Kevin Murray, what do you think?
The MIT people that put together this algorithm were very clear. There is no technical barrier to creating an equitable assignment system. We can create a system in which every student, whether they're in Mattapan or the North End, has equal access to the quality seats that exist. That's a mathematical problem, and one thing MIT people and Northeastern people can do is solve those mathematical problems. The question was, is the city of Boston ready to address the political challenges, the social challenges that that implies? The implications of giving everybody that access in a city that's as segregated as Boston, with the patterns of educational delivery that we have, are significant. And there's a perception that to do that runs the risk of having certain kinds of people withdraw their children from the school. That's why this is the third rail of Boston politics.
I mean, the fear is the mid-1970s all over again.
Or something like
or
that.
I mean, that was an extreme way of putting it, but I don't think it's outlandish necessarily.
Right. But when you have an algorithm, there's a wonderful slide in Dan's in the Bari report that shows a bar graph with four bars, and it shows white and Asian families with this level of access and their indexed values. African American families have half that level of access across the city. And then Latino families are somewhere in between. If you're an African-American family in the city of Boston and you know that you start out with one half the access to a reasonable, a quality seat in the school system, what's your response to that?
Mm.
Right? So And the assumption is that families like mine are going to withdraw from the system if everybody has equal access to the good seats. That's never been tested. I know hundreds of families in Boston that would not withdraw in the face of an equitable system. There probably are some that would. But I think we need to flip this thing and call our system an equity-based school assignment system and follow that name where it takes us.
Dan O'Brien?
Yeah, so I think you raised some great points. And I think there's I think there's a second thread of the conversation. So to your main point, right, absolutely. Scholars, you know, data technicians and scientists like those at Bari and other places, we can try to build a more equitable algorithm. We made recommendations on how to do that. But I think the other problem is, as you pointed out much earlier, right, the inequitable distribution of quality schools across the geography of the city, right? If people would like to go to school closer to home and they're making a trade-off there, giving them access to a great school that's 2 miles away might not be attractive.
But I feel like the ideal that many parents have rightly been calling for years and years and years is exactly that, more quality schools closer to home.
Exactly. And I think maybe what I'm saying is that we need to be having those two conversations simultaneously rather than just arguing about the policy on the one end and the quality on the other end. They go hand in hand.
Kevin Murray, just got a couple seconds here.
I agree with that, but we need an assignment system that's equitable for the school system that we have right now. Right, there's going to be a transition period. Quest is 100% behind the idea that the only solution for Boston is more quality schools in all neighborhoods. In the meantime, we need an equitable assignment system, not an affirmative action system, an affirmative action program for white and Asian families, which I think this report shows that the current assignment system is exactly that.
Well, Kevin Murray is a parent with the organization, the parent organization, Quality Education for Every Student, or Quest. Thank you so much for joining us. And Dan O'Brien, associate professor at Northeastern University and co-director of the Boston Area Research Initiative. Thank you as well.
My pleasure. Thank you, Magna.